All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Saturday, February 22nd of 2025, and looking ahead here, we have a ton of DFS action coming at you over the weekend. I saw that we have NBA, we have NHL back, we have MMA, we have Golf Showdowns, we have NASCAR, we have League of Legends. There is just so much DFS to play. If you guys aren't signed up with us, want to check us out, we do have a five-day no-strings-attached free trial. You can find details about that in the description of this video. But for those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there's a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim teams. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do the show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do the show on Saturdays, 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So appreciate you guys tuning in on a Saturday afternoon or morning, depending on where you live. And why don't we get SaberSim up? Have plenty of questions, it looks like, here to go over. So we're just going to work our way top down in the app. I have the NBA main slate, which kicks off later tonight, pulled up. So first question for Jay Sams Jr., why does SaberSim team use DK more than FanDuel? I think DK just like caters a little bit more to their, you know, DFS community. Like just having the ability to, you know, download contest data and like that allows us to like build more tools, right? With like Flashback and things like that. I think DK is just like a little bit bigger. You know, they usually have like bigger contests and stuff like that. So DK is just like a little bit more popular than FanDuel. I think that's like why we lean that way. Second question, how can you tell the usage rate when it comes to players on a team, also bench players? We don't have usage like displayed in the app. We mostly have things displayed in the app that are related to fantasy scoring, right? So it's like you look in here and you see points, you see three pointers because like there's bonuses for that, right? Rebounds, assists, steals, blocks, turnovers, you get negative points for those, right? So everything you kind of see in the SaberSim app is like related to the scoring system. Usage is something that obviously comes into play, but kind of more like on the model side. So we don't display usage here in the app, but it is taken into account in the sim in case you were wondering about that. All right. Next question. Hey, Andrew, kind of a follow-up to the Builder View show for my golf slate yesterday. Thank you for doing both, by the way. Like you had mentioned, I didn't have an ROI filter on for golf. Reason being is so is, is sometimes it'll go from 5,000 to just a few hundred with just the ROI filter, which has then given me an issue of being able to fill my lineups when trying to play, usually just over 100 lineups about. So I turned off the filter to increase pool in order to fill. Seems to just happen in golf for me. Any ideas as to why or if I'm doing something wrong somewhere that are something that I'm missing? So I don't think you're doing anything wrong. I definitely see this often myself in sports where duplication is a factor, where player pools are small. Like for instance, like NFL Showdown, for example, this would come up a lot. An ROI filter could, you know, take me from 5,000 lineups down to 500. Okay. The way I think about this is, you know, and there's different ways to think about it for sure. For me, in sports where you need an optimal, I'm more inclined to play lineups in more than one contest because chances are you're going to need that one lineup to win, right? So if you are using unique rank, then, you know, you're kind of saying like, hey, I'm okay winning like any single contest. But then if you're using like rank fill, you're like, you know what? Like if a lineup grades out good and ends up winning, like, hey, now I can dupe, now I can ship, you know, multiple contests, right? So when I usually won't see this for Classic, right? It's kind of like Showdown specific thinking. So like that's the way I'm like approaching this answer. I am more inclined to use rank fill in these formats than in other types. So I would actually kind of recommend considering that, you know, if you are using unique rank and, you know, you are cutting your pool down like 90%. And then, you know, you have like a couple hundred lineups. Then like, yeah, you know, you can definitely run into a situation where you have trouble filling. Also consider how many uniques you're using too, right? So like, say you have three uniques and you have trouble filling. Well, then you could try two uniques and like maybe you'll be better, right? But I would say, you know, even if you go from like 5,000 to 500, you have like over 100 entries. If you use rank fill, you should still be able to fill out your lineups. So I would consider that, right? You don't have to do it. You know, you could open up the ROI. Like you said, like maybe you open it up to like negative 10%, negative 15% or something like that, you know, and like make it like a little bit wider so you have more lineups available. That's an okay approach, but I think using rank fill might be better. So food for thought. All right, next question. If I start an NBA slate with three uniques, when I late swap each time after that, is it a good idea to use only one unique? Okay, so if you use three, you should be able to maintain three throughout the night. I'd say like that's kind of like your baseline thought. That's like how I would go. It's like, hey, if I started with three, you know, probably just stick with three, right? That's a fine thing to do, okay? What else you can do, right, is you can actually test it, right? So the way I do this is what I will do is set up my aggregate metrics, right? Projection, ROI, like the ones I use, and then I will set my unique. I will save at one unique. So I'll set my unique to one. I'll save in late swap, see what my metrics are. Change to two uniques, save again, see what my metrics are. Change to three uniques, save again, right? And you could do that process over and over, and then you can see how your aggregate metrics change, right? It's very similar to the way we talk about, you know, pre-build of changing uniques, looking at metrics, looking at exposures, looking at leverage. You can do the same, right? It's just a little bit different because the way you have to do it is you have to save the lineups, analyze, resave, analyze, right? As opposed to analyze and then save, right? So like we talk about direct fill a lot. So direct fill is look at your lineups, then save. And autofill is kind of the opposite. It's save first and then analyze, right? So is it fine to just use the same number that you use pre-slate? Yeah, probably. But if you want to be more granular, you know, you can reiterate through that process. And it honestly takes seconds, right? Like your metrics are there. And then you click save, they populate, you adjust the unique with the gear icon, you save again. Like it's, you know, very, very quick process, not time consuming at all. So that's what I'd recommend. One of those two approaches. All right. Next question. What are your thoughts about simming my build against multiple different fields? Example, simming against SaberSim flagship, high stakes, single entry, uploading projections ownership from another site and building another field to sim against. I feel like this could help develop a more anti-fragile portfolio of lineups that will still be plus EV given the different ways that ownership can shake out on a slate. Okay, so good question. I think it's okay to do this approach. I wouldn't do it against every field though. Like for instance, I don't really like the idea of doing it against like SaberSim flagship MME and high stakes single entry, right? And the reason I don't is because I think that the ownership projections are a little too far apart. And what I would rather recommend is doing it against like the same field. Let me say that again. I would do flagship 20 max. I would do high stakes 20 max. I would do low stakes 20 max and medium stakes 20 max, right? Your 20 max is going to fall within one of these buckets by default. And then you're doing three additional buckets. But what you're doing is you're still saying these are all 20 maxes and these are different stakes, right? And then the ownerships will change, right? So like Denny Avdija is 41% in flagship, but then he's 60% in high stakes, 39% in low stakes, and then 49 in medium stakes, right? So his ownership varies from like 39 to 60 here, right? But if we go look at like high stakes single entry, you know, so in high stakes 20 max, Aaron Gordon is 45%, and high stakes single entry, Aaron Gordon is 67%, right? So I think that there's going to be more similarities between the same number of entries, and then you just change the stakes, right? So that's probably how I would do it. That'll give you an array of ownership projections while still giving you something that's probably, you know, closer to like the range of outcomes you'll see as ownership varies within your contest. So that's my opinion there. Okay. All right. Got a question from Wes, who's tuning in here. And question says, okay, so I've been working a lot and I haven't been able to catch any of the build review streams. So with the new sim interface, should I still be making a separate build for 20 max and GPP and single entry? Also, should I change the aggregate metric for each build to the corresponding contest? And should I keep the correlation and sim diversity in the build settings default? Okay, good question. So let's just talk about sliders first, right? So the sliders, and let's build some items while we do this, right? So we're going to build 500 lineups, kick this off. All right, so sounds like Wes is coming over from like old SaberSim to new SaberSim, trying to get familiar with the new, you know, UI and all that stuff. So slider settings first, right? So sliders are being set based on the number of games on the slate, okay? So like all the other dropdowns and stuff have gone away, and the reason for that is kind of, you know, I like to equate it to something else that we had, right? We used to have three sliders. We used to have correlation, ownership, fate, and sim diversity. Well, what we realized is that in our SaberScore formula, we were taking into account ownership as well. So ownership was being double counted. It was being counted in the slider. It was being counted in SaberScore. We kind of realized we're doing the same thing here as well with like some of the field sizes and things like that, right? Because with SaberScore, we're accounting for how many entries there are in your contest, right? 100 to 1K, 1K to 10K, 10 to K to 50K, 50K plus. We didn't want to double count there as well. So the games on the slate determine the sliders, and then your SaberScore takes into account, you know, the number of entries in your contest, right? So with this, I think it's okay to build all your lineups together, right? If you want to build your single entries and three maxes together, because the sliders are going to be the same. And then what you can do here is you can do one of two things, okay? So if you want to use direct fill, you can go contest by contest. And then for each different contest, you can understand how many entries you have in the contest. And then you can sort by that size, fill your lineups, and then move on to the next. Or in autofill, you can set each contest appropriately, right? So like a four game slate is considered a small slate. Well, let's say you have like a, you know, a single entry, a 20 max, and they all fall in different settings, right? So what you would do is like in autofill, you change the rank by to the specific entry size that the contest falls under, right? So like if you have a 500 man single entry, well, then you would sort that one by the small slate, 100 to 1K. And then let's say you have a 20 max, that's like 16,000 entries. Okay, then that one goes in the 10 to 50K, right? So you basically use the specific saber scores for the contest size that you're playing. So that's what I would like most emphasize is going to be the most important there when running all of your lineups together, is just making sure you're sorting them properly for the contest that you're building for. Second part, should I change the aggregate metrics for each build to this corresponding contest? So if you're on the basic plan, you don't need to worry about like contest specific aggregate metrics, because that like comes from the contest sims. I would say, on in my opinion, you know, the biggest thing, right, when building on starter is don't sacrifice too much projection, and then don't go too far down in your pool, right? We always recommend staying in like the top 25 to 50% of your pool, because when we use an ROI filter, typically we lose about like 40 to 50% of the lineups in our pool. So we're like, hey, you know, we kind of want you to stay away from like the back half of the lineups expecting that the top 50% are close, are positive EV lineups, closer to positive ROI lineups. So that's just like a safeguard that we recommend, trying to stay like closer to the top. But correct sorting metric per contest size, staying higher in the pool, and then not sacrificing too much projection via the aggregate metrics are like the big things that I would be concerned about or aware of as I continue to build on my starter subscription and getting used to like the new SaberSim layout. All right. Good stuff there. We are caught up so far. And I'm going to jump over to office hours. All right. All caught up with questions there. So why don't we do a little bit of a build demo, right? So I'm going to open up a fresh build here. All right. So first thing, right, got to build as many lineups as your plan allows here. Four game slate, I'm probably going to leave minimum as is. I think it's okay to maybe do like a slight bump, like 500, but I'm not going to get crazy with this going like 49,000, 49,500, you know, a little bit smaller slate. So okay to be a little less restrictive, right? The less games on the slate, the less restrictive you kind of want to be. And then the more games on the slate, the more restrictive you can be, right? So just always remember, you know, the less games, the weirder things that can happen, kind of let the sim figure all that out. And Wes said, thank you for the clarity. You're welcome. All right. Cool beans here. So this is all set. I'm going to put on like a small, I really should just save this. Okay. I'm just going to save this because I always use it and I have to recreate it every time. So I'm going to set a small projection filter, projection greater than 10, just trying to guard against, you know, guys that are super high variance, might not even play. And, you know, all these guys' ownerships are like zero, whatever. So this seems fine to do for me. Cool stuff there. All right. So now I'm going to kick off these lineups, right? And then while I do this, I'm going to go to the contest tab and go set up a contest sim. So I'm going to do the $4.20 max. Seems like a good idea. Cool. All right. $4.20 max contest sim set up. In case you guys missed it, we did make a couple updates here. And $4 contests are now flagship 20 max by default, I believe, instead of the low stakes 20 max. So just one quick note there. All right. Getting back to this build, going to click run contest sim. Going to move some columns around while we wait. Sort by exposure. Cool. So contest sim is finished. And setting up my metrics, right? So sorting by ROI, got my average projection, average ROI metric. Looks like Jordan Clarkson, a couple of these guys may or may not play here with doubtful statuses. So I'm going to zero them out so we don't have to worry about them. And this would be like our new baseline here, right? So I'm basically set up the way I want to be set up here. And now I want to start getting some diversification in my lineups, right? So I'm going to start increasing my uniques, noting my metrics, 265.1. I think this was 179, 176. Okay, so one unique to two. Okay, lose a little ROI, not too much. Two to three projections holding pretty good. ROI's still like only 10% down. Looks good. Three to four. Okay, big jump three to four, right? We lose 2.5 points projection and like 30% ROI. So here I got to figure out, okay, what I want to do, right? Do I want to try and maintain those metrics and look at my exposures and my leverages at three uniques, right? And a couple like high leverages, 34, 27, 30, 20, right? These are all percentages. These players are all, you know, 25% owned or higher, right? Too. So that's another thing to consider. I can look at what four looks like. Okay, these leverages are like a little bit flatter. You know, this is a good opportunity, right? It's like, hey, you could see somebody who's like, yeah, I prefer like a little bit flatter, not so leveraged approach. Or somebody's like, ah, oh, these plays seem pretty good and I'm okay assuming a little bit more risk and rolling with them. So I think three is good. I think four is good. It's going to kind of depend what kind of player you are and what approach you want. So like, for instance, like me, I would probably do three. Every time I hear Jordan, you know, do a stream or do a video, he's a little bit more conservative. So he would probably do four if I had to, you know, wager here. And, you know, both of those approaches are okay, right? There's no right answer. All right. Dan said, is there anything I could do to force higher ROI lineups into my pool on a standard build? Tough question. Is there anything you can do? So there is, I don't know if you should do it though, right? So the important part here, right, to understand is that SaberSim takes into account your projection adjustments in the pre-build, okay? So like if I come in here and I bump up Jokic by like 10 points and then I set like 100% max minimum exposure, I'm basically like hacking the pre-contest sim to get like higher ROI lineups, right? Because like all of my lineups have 100% of this guy who I now say is going to score like 75 points on average, right? So it's a little bit hacky. I wouldn't recommend doing that. But just like understand that like anytime you make projection adjustment, like if I come in and like go to like some like low owned player, you know, like I go and I take like Austin Reeves, like 1% ownership, and like I bump him up like 5 points projection, and like I'm probably going to get a ton of him. And then now because he's so low owned and he's in so many of my lineups, I'm going to have so many more positive ROI lineups. You know what I mean? So the thing is, like, if you're making a projection adjustment that you actually believe in, that you actually think is right, and that's happening, great. You know, that's super cool. That's like awesome, right? You know, found like this low owned play who you think's gonna like do better, and like maybe that ends up being true, right? Like, if that happens, then that's awesome, and you're gonna end up with like a ton of more positive ROI lineups. So I guess what I'm saying is like, don't hack it just for the sake of like getting that. But if that ends up being like, you know, you do research, you find like a play and like it ends up being better, like awesome, you know, take it, right? So just be careful with that. Don't do it just for the sake of getting more higher ROI lineups in your pool would be my final advice there. Dan said, thanks. You're welcome. All right. Looking here, we are all caught up with questions in the YouTube chat and Discord, and we knocked out a build demo here. So I think we're all set. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back Monday, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.